What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's over there in that other box. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
You know, it's really nice to go to PAX and not have to bathe, but I feel like people that do go to PAX don't bathe anyway, so...
True. This is true.
But this whole PAX online thing, Stephen, it's been pretty interesting for us. We did our first interview today, which we'll get into later on, but...
We did?
I didn't hate it, this format.
So... Yeah, I didn't hate the format either, but I do hate that. So when we do PAX, it's the only thing we're doing.
Yeah.
The problem now is that we're trying to fit PAX in our normal scheduled lives.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of weird things that we have to work around. Work schedules, my wife's work schedule, my children, life schedule, my stream schedule, the show normal recording schedule. Like everything's kind of thrown out of whack for the next 6 days. And it's weird. Like today, I was like, oh, well, that was easy. That was a quick 20-minute interview. Sorry, I just had every sip of seltzer I just took just came back up. It was 20 minutes. It was like, oh, we could do that 5, 10, 15 more times. But then I realized, no, we really can't because I have to work all day tomorrow. I have meetings upon meetings upon meetings. Then we have an interview at, like, I think 6:30, and then I do my normal Monday stream for Marbles to give away a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. It's just it's a weird way to schedule everything. Just strange. Like, we're lucky that we have people that are in different time zones, and but it's going to. I feel like that is going to dictate the games we cover more so than it being games we want to cover.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. It's also it's less games on the docket as opposed to a regular PAX convention. No big names are there except for maybe I can't even think of any really big developers there. It's mainly indie focused, it seems. But you know,
Ubisoft is there, isn't
true,
aren't they?
True, but they've sent no invitation like, hey, come check our games out. That's not a thing.
Yeah, they're just gonna leave. They're just gonna do
I'm
little
sure
video,
there's
probably.
Panels that are like I think there's a Gearbox panel happening. They do that every year.
Right.
You know, it's spread across a week plus, which is nice. But yeah, it's strange. It's interesting. I don't hate it, but we're people. People, we have to get in their faces,
we are people.
And that's what we do.
And Bethesda, Sega thing. Will be there.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, they have their own booth, whatever. Trying to look at the big ones here. Like those are real. I mean, 505,
right?
But we'll talk about them later. Oh boy, Tiny Build, the Behemoth,
sure.
Yeah, that's really it. Like a lot of these are the usuals, like Yzbird.
It's the repeat offenders. Basically, is what's happening.
Yeah, Team 17.
Right. Okay.
It's a nice little thing there.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we bring all sorts of gaming news that happened throughout the week, and we discuss it. We yell at each other. We have a little duel, as it were, here on these two screens, hence the name Dual Screens. If you like what you're listening to, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching the video version of the podcast. If you're watching on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, please hit the follow button. We would appreciate that greatly. And remember, it is September, so you get 20% off your sub right now, and we get 100% of the normal subscription. So only Twitch is losing out on money there. So if you want to give us a couple bucks, that would be great. The show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice. Any of our podcast services, you can, all of our shows are on one channel, so you could just subscribe or follow us on your favorite platform and it's fine. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. I believe we got a new review. I don't remember if I dreamt it or if it was a review, so I'm going to look at
I would
the
double
reviews
check
real quick.
But I think there was a review recently.
I think we read this one already.
Well, then you probably.
Yeah, we read. I think we
it
read
was
the one
so
from
good.
Taylor.
You just had a dream about it. That's what happened.
Yeah, I think. Actually, you know what it was? We got another rating, but they didn't actually write a review. But if you do write a review, folks, we will read it on the show. So thank you so much. And if you want to support us on Patreon, please, you can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton, the apprentice, Nestler, who both of you should be getting care packages. If the mail system is working, so, and if Andy has a tracking number, we'll get that to you, but
Correct.
Yeah, you should have something at some point. And also, all of you that supported us at the $25, you should be getting a t-shirt as well. I believe all of the merchandise is in. It's in hand, and obviously everything was happening, so... But whatever, we're there. Remember, folks, $1 gets you a bonus episode every month in which you vote the topic, plus you get into our VIP Discord. We get to hang out with us, our indie dev guests, on our other show, the Dual Screens Podcast. So yeah. All right, Andy. It's time now for everybody's future favorite future t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is The Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what you been playing?
So I got a code for Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning.
Yep,
man, I love that game. It's funny.
It shows its age.
It does. And I like how. So I started up, and I was like, "This all seems brand new to me. Like nothing seems familiar. Like the look and the gameplay and the inventory system. I've seen this, but the actual story parts, like this is like it's like a brand new game to me, more or less."
Mm. But it's been 8 years.
It's nice seeing this classic gem getting a little bit of a polish after all this time. And I hope that it actually sparks an interest in this franchise. I think this IP could have been something huge back in the day, but just shit happened, you know, to put it lightly. And it's where we are today. It's just unfortunate.
You can see that they were planning something bigger with this when this game came out, and then everything kind of hit the fan. They had the MMO that they were working on. This was going to be the prequel to the MMO. Oh, no, the MMO was going to be 1,000 years before this game, I think, if I remember correctly. Something like that. Or, like, the MMO was 1,000 years after. I don't know. There was something with 1,000 years. Anyway.
Sure.
But the game's combat and a lot of its sensibilities do seem a couple of generations old at this point, which is expected. You know, we're almost at the next gen right now. So, but it does have some timeless sensibilities, some just the character management and the storytelling is timeless. It's got a lot of charm. It's very silly, but also very dark. But yeah, if you're a big action RPG fan like I am, Kings of Amalur: Re-Reckoning is definitely something you want to try out, especially if you're not if you're in a cold spell right now, if you're in a drought, a gaming drought. What else you been playing?
The Suicide of Rachel Foster, which is one of those walking sim horror kind of games.
Like Edith Finchian,
exactly.
Whatever type stuff. Okay.
Up my alley. It's got a lot of cool visuals. Not too deep in the story yet. These are all story driven games, so that's what's going to hinge on for me. But I like the visuals so far, and I'm sort of semi sucked into it. What I wasn't sucked into was a game that I played for all about 5 minutes. And listen, I give games a chance.
Sure.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Battletoads, the new one, a game that I despise, and I actually finished it. Like, I saw through to the end.
Okay.
I would not recommend it, but this game that I played today, because I saw a review, it was 1 out of 10. Like, it can't be that bad. This game
1 out of 10?
Can't be that bad. It is that bad. It's a game called Bounty Battle. It's a game that should have been great. It's a Smash, it's a Smash Brothers clone.
Yep.
That has a bunch of indie characters in it from indie games. Yep. Like the dude from what was that one game from
Guacamelee.
From Dead Cells, Guacamelee.
Yeah.
So many cameos.
Yeah, I saw
that. From Darkest Dungeon. Uh-huh. From Axiom Verge. A lot of like really high profile indie games. Yeah. And we've seen Smash Brothers clones done well. Brawlhalla, Brawlout, Rivals of Aether, even the fucking Ninja Turtles when they came out years ago was still a passable Smash clone for all it was.
I heard that game was pretty good.
It's so bad. And it makes me...
Why is it so bad?
The characters move like molasses.
Sure.
And it's so slow. And it has probably the worst voice acting ever in a game.
Do they get
really bad
to use these characters? Like, did
that's what games that's what boggles my characters? Mind. Didn't they say, can we see the game first before you actually put our character in it? Like, is it good?
Yikes.
It is, guys. Yikes. Seriously, watch some videos. And if
is
I
that
was,
is that out or is that
it is out? It is out. Oh my god! I'm sorry. If I was to review this game,
this is terrible news.
It'd be my very first burn it on the website.
I review it and do it.
I would burn it.
Put it up there. That's clickbait right there.
It'll just say 0 out of 10. Burn it. Is a whole review.
So Andy, I played a couple of games that are up right now on the PAX Online demo floor.
Oh, you did? Yes.
I did. I played two of them yesterday. I played them on stream. One of them was Pumpkin Jack, which just gets better and better the more I see it.
Oh, wait, that's that Crash Bandicoot clone, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Crash. yeah, it's nothing like Crash. It's basically the first level up to there's a Scarecrow boss. But the game is so chock full of charm. It looks beautiful. It's running absolutely beautifully. Played it on PC through Steam. It's got to be running at 60 frames, if not higher. I think it was uncapped, the frame rate. So, it was just gorgeous. It's a simple 3D action platformer, you know, fighting game, kind of like Medieval or Spyro or something like that. It has some on rails kind of, not on rails, but
like your karting sections, like, you know, like a
Donkey Kong. Exactly. Thing, like so the whole level is burning down and you're trying to like run forward and platform and get through that part. But you know, it's got secrets and it's got a really cool fighting mechanic where you throw crows as your ranged weapon. It has a cooldown. You get in there with a shovel. You get a scythe after you beat the boss. I didn't get to use the scythe, but it's there. But the whole premise is what really took me by surprise, because I didn't know what the real story here was. But they open up with a beautiful, fully voiced cinematic where essentially the devil gets bored, and so he sends demons to Earth, and the demons take over, but then the humans give up and they're just like, well, fuck it. So then they hire this like wizard to kind of protect them or whatever. So now the devil sends you, you're like this rogue bounty hunter, like you're the devil's puppet essentially, but he knows that you can take this wizard out, so you're actually the bad guy. And
I love this game so much.
He puts you on this earth or whatever, and you're killing the devil's own demons because he's like, well, they're mindless things anyway. It doesn't matter. Just get rid of them and then get rid of like this wizard or whatever. So it's a really cool premise. It's absolutely beautiful. The music is fucking phenomenal. When I was playing this game on stream, the chat, almost everyone went and downloaded this demo, and they were all swooning over.
And also, dude, let's mention it's a one person developer team, which still blows my mind.
Yes, one person. Yep.
It's one dude working on this game, which looks like it's at least a team of like 5 or 10 people. And again, it's very like PS1 era medieval type game with like some melee combat, some cool role mechanics in there, fun weapons. Oh yeah,
I want to see what they do when you like get in the later levels, like how they mix up the powers and stuff, because you do gain abilities and stuff as you're going along. I also played the Behemoth's new game, Alien Hominid Invasion.
You mean their first game, sort of revisited in a way.
So, yeah, sure. So here's the thing. The Behemoth has been off of my radar for well over a decade at this point. Like, aside from their breakfast
aside
at PAX,
from their free mini muffins and croissants and coffee.
They like Castle Crashers was like 2006. Like, I'm done with Castle Crashers, right?
Right.
I forgot who the Behemoth was. Just put it that way. When I was playing this game, I said to myself, this is kind of like the shoot 'em up version of Castle Crashers. Not putting two and two together that one was the other. Your whole video is spazzing out. I'm sorry, folks. But
don't worry about it. I had a little bit of a delay there too while you were talking. I was like, was it me or was it you? Yeah, I guess it was me.
And his camera's spazzing out, his internet's being weird, but it's okay. It's super full of charm. It's a lot of fun. I was exhausted. My forearm was killing me because the base weapons that you get, you have to just keep spamming fire. You don't just hold it down. But the basic premise is you go into a level and you equip what kind of equipment you want. In the beginning, it's obviously just like what they give you. You go in and you have to kill a bunch of enemies to gain intel, and then there's going to be like an intel drop area where you go there and you're like dropping all the intel while you're protecting yourself and killing more of the humans. And then you have other things like, oh, kill two purple enemies. And then when you do a certain amount of tasks, you could extract, or you could do some more tasks for more cash or whatever.
And there's gore also in this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People explode. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they added gore to this version.
Mm-hmm. The fun thing is like you ride on the back of the people and like you're shooting them while you're riding the back. It's got a ton of charm. It's really funny. And it's obviously one of their co-op games. Now I didn't play it in co-op.
Like, it's like vintage Behemoth. It's what they do best. The games like
this. Yeah. It's just absolutely just oozing with charm, and polish. So keep your eyes out on this one. Eyes out for this one. Cause I think it's going to be real good. And of course we got, because it's 2 years later, everyone's playing Among Us, and Andy.
2 years later,
Andy. Before this weekend, I was the imposter 6 out of 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I played one night. The first 4 games, I was the imposter.
Mm.
I was the imposter. 15 out of 29 times on Friday.
Isn't that what you want, though? Don't you want to be the asshole?
It was so awesome. It was so awesome. I got away with so much shit. There was one time where they literally saw me kill someone, and I got away with blaming somebody else for it.
How'd you pull that off?
We were all in a cluster. One person was off to the side. Uh-huh. I killed one of the people in the cluster.
Sure.
And then. The person reporter is like, I saw Bat do it. And I was like, how? There was a cluster of people. I was still doing the task. I didn't see anybody could die. So I didn't know anything was going on. And I somehow convinced them that the other person that was standing with us was the killer.
If the guy that accused you ended up being killed, that would have been the best way to end that.
It would have been great. We blamed something on Buzz. We got him immediately. That was when it was me and Billy the Door were the killers, and we just blamed Buzz, and Buzz just went floating into space. And it wasn't even us that blamed Buzz.
That's the best.
It was somebody else that blamed Buzz, and we were like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, let's get him out.
Let's just get rid of him.
yeah. And finally, so we're gonna be playing that at least once or twice a week. So if you want to hang out, please do. 10 players is just the best. And then of course I've been playing Spellbreak, the new battle royale wizard spell slinging game. Super difficult, but a lot of fun. Really, really steep like mastering curve.
Yeah, I watched the fiance was playing some, and I was like, it looks like a lot of fun, but man, oh man, it's
hard.
It's got depth to it too. Which I was taken aback by.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it's not just killing. It's just there's loot involved. There's the spells and masteries and skills. It's got a lot of meat on it, which surprising, but I feel it's one of those games where if you really get into it, that's like the game you're going to play for a while.
There's also do this element combination thing.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Because you pick which gauntlet you want to use first. Like I'm a poison main, mm-hmm. whatever. I like doing DOT.
Mm-hmm.
And the flame is actually really hard to nail people with, so the fire one. But if you combine poison with fire, you can make a flaming cloud of gas.
Flaming cloud gas of destruction.
Yeah, exactly. There's wind where you can make a flame tornado. There's ice powers, lightning powers, rock powers. It's a blast to play. When you get two people to play with you and you're running around, the only thing I wish they would do is add some more character to it. Like,
right.
The Again, wizards are all voiceless.
It. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's some more personality.
More personality, and the sound design is flawed. You don't know where anybody is. You should be able to mm-hmm. hear people coming, and like you have to rely almost 100% visual.
And there's no like background music, correct? While you're playing?
No. And that's okay.
Right.
I don't mind that, because you need to really be in there and like
sure.
know your surroundings. But the world is so empty.
Yeah, it looks kind of barren.
It's all barren spots and then little broken down like castles or bastillas or something like that you kind of just find loot in, and then like there will be fights that will happen there, but like most of the games will end just on like a hillside,
mm-hmm.
and you're just slinging spells all at each other. It's a little bit, I wish there was more not medieval, more Renaissance fair feeling to it, where right. you go into actual houses and buildings and, you know, bigger structures that have corridors and doors where you kind of almost like Call of Duty does, where there are buildings that you could go in and fight in.
Or even like just PUBG make them back in the day, like there were at least buildings and then you can, yeah. you can walk inside and do things. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely got, I think it's got probably, aside from Apex and Fortnite, I think this has like the best foundation to start mm-hmm. in a battle royale. Like they could build on this game really easily. But yeah, that's essentially it. And of course, I've been playing Apex Legends okay. and it's time for a minute of Apex. Ladies and gentlemen,
God damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if I told you this last week, but they're back to the original shield damage, which is great. So now shields are a little bit more important. But let me tell you something. I've been focusing on that ranked play, and I'm getting better. I am getting better. So if you want to watch that, anytime I win a battle royale, we've been winning. Anytime we win any of these games, whether it's Spellbreak or Apex or whatever, anytime we win a game, I give away a game to the chat. So get in there. Exclamation point raffle. Twitch.tv/Batchild. Apex Legends. That's it. That's all I'm doing for you.
Exclamation.
That's all I get.
Buzz sucks also.
Exclamation point buzz sucks.
That's also get you a game for free.
That's also, yes.
In our Discord.
Indeed. All right. So let's get into the indie news update. Andy, take it away.
Well, I just want to do a nice little shameless plug for our first of many PAX online interviews coming this week.
Okay.
And the first one was with Ghost Runner, which mm-hmm. this game, oh man, this is the game.
It looks dope.
This game is the shit right here. Now, I suck at it, but that don't matter because it's a fun-ass game. So if you have some time, go to youtube.com/dualscreens.tv and check it out.
Why don't you drop the link in the chat as well?
Oh, yeah. Remember, folks, look at you.
We do this recording. I'm trying to, but it says I have to log in again, so I'm not doing it. But yes, if you go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, we do this show live, so we'll be dropping links in the chat as we perform? Record? This is the word I was looking for.
Performance, yeah, because
it is sort of just a always on.
But yeah, fun little cyberpunk first-person slasher with an amazing soundtrack, really fun trigger, fast gameplay. It's mm-hmm. one hit kill, one hit death, so yeah. Everyone's as spongy as you are. So you got to master like your platforming in this game to play it properly and not get killed.
It's got a great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It looks like they took the sensibilities of like a Katana Zero or like Hotline Miami and turned it into a 3D game, essentially,
which
with platforming.
Which is scary when you think about it.
Yeah. But
like, let's do Mirror's Edge.
Check it out.
And Ninja Gaiden, but it's one hit kills. Great.
Ninja Gaiden.
Let's do it.
Indeed. All right, guys. It's time to get into the Dual Screens report. Andy,
oh,
we have our first story. This is all about Xbox. We got some pricing.
This is
we
like
got
a lot.
Some details. And we got some rumors.
This is a lot. A lot happened in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a good lesson how to own a leak and just stop fucking around.
Roll with the punches.
And roll with it. So earlier this week, the Xbox Series S totally leaked with its price point. At $299, an amazing competitive price point, I might add.
Indeed.
And Phil was like, fuck it. Yeah, it's real. Here it is. Yeah. Well, here's the release date too, guys. mm-hmm. So, and then shortly after that, we got the Series X price as well at $499. Right. And the internet just blew up. Because it was after months of waiting, after this supposed game of chicken, which we all knew wasn't a real thing. I mean, these things are decided upon months in advance, price-wise. And right. It finally came to a head. I mean, if you got closer to the actual holiday season, this couldn't be contained for much longer, these dates and the prices. But now we're here. It's one down, one to go. So let's talk about the S. For a little while.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah,
Steven,
yeah.
Let's look at this little guy's little, what its specs are like, what it can do. Oh, and a fun add-on to this was that there was an Xbox Series X briefing that was set, I think, to premiere this coming week. And that whole thing leaked online as well.
Yes, I saw that. That was supposedly just for press. That wasn't a
right
thing that they were going to like put on the internet, really.
Because I think the initial plan was for all these announcements to come this coming week from Microsoft. That's what Phil had said. Phil Spencer, just so you know who Phil is when I'm talking about Phil. It was all set for this coming week, and then the leak happened. Like, okay, then they just owned it and then rolled with it. And I think the happiest accent from all this was that all this information came on PlayStation's 25th anniversary in the States.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of poetic and trolly, if it was intentional, which it wasn't, but just it's a happy accident. And it gets me in here, Steven, right in here.
Yeah, it was a beautiful timing thing. It was perfect for that.
So while I pull up this thing specs, give me your initial impressions, the look of it, the price.
I think they're really fucking stupid to make that little cooling part black.
Right.
I think the console looks gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
I think the size of it is awesome. I think that its function, what it's going to do, what it's going to provide gamers is great. The price is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everything except for that stupid black fucking circle.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that bothers me. Like, if that's one of those things that you could swap out and make like a different color or just why isn't it just white? Why?
I don't understand. Like, what is the point of that?
It looks like a Burger King speaker phone. Yeah. Like, what? Like,
hello, my ticket order. Yeah, I'll take a PS5.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just weird.
Listen, the price is good. I love that price. It's a good entry point into next gen at a low price. But just that one, it's the one thing. I mean, we've seen the concepts of like this little cube shape. It was like half the Series X, more or less. Mm-hmm. I love that design because it's so small and like perfect. And then this thing, I'm like, ugh, what is that black dot? I don't get it.
It just looks that's the only thing that looks weird. But
seeing
that it's essentially the same thickness as a PS4
fat,
but it's half the depth.
Right. So a few noteworthy specs here. It is it's targeting 1440p at 60fps up to 120. So for all those, so Ori is set to run at good. It's good for all the current gen stuff. That's gonna be bumped up to 120fps. It's got 4 teraflops. So many flops.
I don't get that part of it at all. Like, the Series X or the 1X was like, oh, we got them 11, 10, mm-hmm. 10 whatever it was, teraflops. Or 9, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, do the teraflops matter, Microsoft? Make up your fucking mind.
We're going to get into that shortly. But a few more specs here before we proceed. It's got an 8-core AMD Zen 2 CPU. At 3.6 gigahertz.
All right.
Cool. Great.
Same processor as the Series X.
Correct. It has, for its GPU, it's the AMD RDNA 2 GPU with 20 compute units at 1.565 gigahertz.
Love those units.
Great. And it has a whopping 10 gigabytes of RAM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I'm not a huge tech person. All this stuff to me is like a gobbledygook.
All right.
My brain is as follows.
I'm following your brain.
My brain says to me, if this thing is slightly a little bit more powerful than an Xbox One X, in a sense, this is now the lowest common denominator for Microsoft.
Possibly.
Would this, and again, it begs the question, would this hold back next gen development? If you're, when you're a developer, third party or otherwise, and you say, okay, we have the Series X and the Series S, it's got to work on both systems.
I think what this is going to do is, I think it's going to be way, way more simple than you think.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1440 versus 4K.
Mm-hmm.
That's resolution. We all know that games can change resolution, no problem.
Correct.
You could develop and work your way backwards easily.
Sure.
The other thing is also toggleable, which is ray tracing.
It's a great word, by the way. Toggleable.
Toggleable.
That's a sexy ass word.
We know ray tracing. We know sound if you're putting that crazy Dolby Atmos, whatever, although that's going to be standard on both. We know that that is something that some people can use, some people don't have to use, so it has to be a toggleable option as well. I think when it comes to the, I think the only bottleneck here would be the 2 gigabytes of RAM, the difference, because I believe the Series X is 12. I could be wrong. It might be 16. I don't know. I don't remember off the top of my head. If you have the specs in front of you, please jump in. But I feel like that would be the only thing, especially when you know when the quick resume feature is going to rely heavily on that to cache some of that memory. But they also the solid state drive is the same too.
It is.
So I think you're there's a lot less. I think it's more for output resolution and frame. I really think that's the only thing that they're going to have to worry about. And most games can run. I mean, look at competitive Apex players or competitive anybody players. They put that shit all the way low.
Sure.
They put textures off. You know, they run around. The game looks like a fucking potato, you know, and but that's what they want. They want that because they want to have 120 whatever million frames.
Now, again, this is what I lead with. I'm not a huge tech person. I'm not a game developer, and I defer to the experts. And there was a lot of concern voiced over this Series S specs. Now, here, we're going to go through a few right now just to see how you react to this. Really bummed about this RAM situation. This is coming off of Reset Era, by the way. Yeah,
the RAM. Okay.
Yes, on the Series S. This isn't easy to compensate and drags down base spec quite a bit for next-gen multi-platform. RAM increase was already small compared to previous gen. Now it's almost non-existent. A Call of Duty dude from Infinity Ward said this. It really is, but I can't stop thinking about the fact that they're releasing a lower spec console that will serve as a bottleneck. Granted, transition into next gen is always bottlenecked by last gen for a while. And then we have this from ID Software's lead engine programmer. The memory issue is the big issue on the S. The much lower amount of memory and the split memory banks with drastically slower speeds will be a major issue. Aggressively lowering the rendering resolutions will marginally help, but will not completely counteract the deficiencies. So again, I refer to the experts, those who are actually making the games on these systems. And now, go ahead.
One thing that strikes me is the comment about how, granted, when there's generational overlap. I think that's the key thing to hold on to, because what I'm thinking Microsoft is going to end up doing is they're using the Series S to get people into next gen,
right?
But then 2 years from now, the S goes away and the Series X slides in as the base model, and then they do their whatever the fuck their Series XX, XL, whatever,
the XS and the XL come out.
Right, whatever.
It's a souped up.
But I think that's the life we're leading towards. I think this is just a way to bridge the two gaps. But it happened this gen, right? It happened this gen, but the only thing was they didn't drop support for something.
Exactly.
Did they? Hold on. Nintendo.
Sure.
Nintendo with the new 3DS. Like they were like, okay, if you're the new 3DS is eventually gonna be the place where you're gonna have to get games on the new 3DS.
Correct.
So they sort of dropped support for the baseline 3DS. A lot of games didn't because the install base was so high.
Correct.
But Nintendo did. You know, for the most part. So I don't know, man. I think that's their game plan. I think their game plan is get them in for really cheap, and then 2 years from now, make the big thing the really cheap thing, and then make a bigger thing.
Well, we're talking about big things. Also, amongst all this news that came out this week was EA is joining forces with Game Pass with their service. So,
yeah,
to someone like me who has only committed to $15 a month to Game Pass, I get so much more out of that subscription at no additional cost.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge sports fan guy, and I know that EA will never have the newest Madden game day one on their subscription service. That's just not going to happen.
It's usually like 4 or 5 months later.
That's never going to happen because they don't have money too much. But, you know, if I want to have the new FIFA game and it came out like a 6 months to a year later on EA Play, that's what's called, right? EA Play, I think.
Yeah.
Not really sure.
So EA or EA Access.
Or, you know, the new
EA All
Sure. Or the new Star Wars vehicle. Yeah, I'm into that. Why not?
Yeah, it's fun. Sure.
Again, yep. it just solidifies EA that play, Game Pass
Access. Sure. EA All Play
Play now.
Play
with yourself. It just solidifies that Game Pass is, it's becoming more and more like the thing you just you need if you're a gamer. If you game on PC or on your Xbox, at the very least, you have to have that service. That's end of story.
Yep.
It's inexcusable now to not buy into that ecosystem because it's, you get so much value out of a monthly subscription.
Yeah, that's great. Great deal. Shake hands.
Great move deal. On. Shake hands. Oh, I do have one final quote on the Series S, by the way. There's a little bit more scathing, but they go into more CPU, GPU detail if you want to hear it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course I do.
Okay. Let's start with the CPU. It's slower clocked, and yeah, it's not much, but it's not zero. Make all the claims in the world about the box being aimed at lower resolution, but that doesn't exactly fly for CPU. You're going to have things like game code on CPU on its own thread. Now, GPU. On paper, this one makes more sense. Have the box aimed at 1440p60 instead of 2160p60 and cut down the GPU. But let's be perfectly fucking honest. Neither the Series X or PS5 are 4K60 machines, unless we're cutting IQ from last gen. They can fuck off with AK 6090. So I'm wondering if this indeed poses challenges to developers, if we're going to see more and more exclusives to the Xbox PC systems and PS5 systems in the third party realm, because we're going to see definitely the PS5 first party stuff really take advantage of everything being totally built up for it's the one line of their system. There's no different versions of it. There's no different specs for their digital versus their disc version of their console. It's across the board the same specs.
Yeah.
And we'll see the first party stuff shine. I'm just wondering if third parties will maybe shy away or choose one over the other, given what they'll deal with.
I don't think they'll ever choose one or the other. I don't think that's ever a thing. I think the only ones that would do something like that are the ones that are traditionally on those ecosystems, like a Square might choose Sony for the beginning and then worry about porting later or something like that.
Oh yeah, you mentioned or Square,
Sega mentioned or something. Square.
I have insider news that I can't share about what Square and the PS5 are doing. But yeah,
interesting.
To your point,
but they're so. I think that to go back to the whole structure thing, they also are offering financing for buying these consoles, $25 or $35 a month for 2 years, for correct. 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this all looks really good on paper because it you're basically saving a couple of bucks when you include the monthly subscriptions. That's if you're not sleuthy enough to go and get it for the $1 every, you know, that people go around and like, oh, I got Game Pass for $1 for 6 months or whatever. If you're not one of those people, yeah, you're saving a couple bucks. But and I think that's great. But I think that the amount of people that are truly going to need this type of thing, this financing, are not going to get it for that deal. Because I actually did research on the financing firm. Mm-hmm. And if you go to their website and you check out all of their fine print and all of that stuff, you basically need a 700 or above credit score to get their zero APR. I don't know if they work something out with Microsoft so that they can lower that threshold, but their normal lines of credit that they, when they advertise zero APR, you basically need like a 720 credit score. Those don't come easy, especially for college kids who have a ton of student debt or, you know, somebody who may only have like $1,000 line of credit on their normal credit card or something like that. Who I think this is going to be great for are working class parents who now don't have to drop $800 on Christmas.
Correct.
For their Xbox. I think that, you know, which parent has better credit or, you know, whatever. Like, I think that's who's really going to be able to take advantage, or your 30-something-year-olds who don't have kids, who have been working on their credit and will mm-hmm. be able to do this. But like the 17, 18, 19-year-olds that are in college, that are working their, you know, 15 hours a week, their credit is not going to be good. It's just not. When I was a student and I didn't even have bad credit, having no credit is not good credit. You start kind of shitty. You kind of have to scratch your way. I think you started at like 600 or something.
I only got good credit like maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, and in my late 30s. I was on the no credit shit for a while, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy
but
at all.
That's not a criticism of this. This is just something that, like, as a real world person, as somebody that deals with that on a constant basis, where you're like, oh, we could get this couch for zero APR, and then you're like, oh wait, no, just kidding. Your credit says you have to pay 12%. Like, I've been there. It sucks. The other thing you have to remember, kids, if you have great credit, please save your money. You have to pay the taxes up front.
Yeah,
you have to pay the taxes up front. You have to pay the taxes up front. That does not mean just for the Xbox, because they are charging you for the Game Pass essentially in that lump sum price. You are going to be paying taxes on the subscription as well. On whatever the $860 total for the Series X, you are paying your state's and city's taxes on that $860. This is just a PSA. This doesn't make it worse. This doesn't make it a bad plan. This is just a warning. Please remember that you still need to have money to buy your Xbox. You're still going to pay like $100 or something, which may be nothing. That's fine. But please just remember that. And if you fuck up, if you miss a payment, no APR doesn't mean you get to not, you know, make the skip payments. It's probably going to be a 27, 28, or 29% annual percentage increase if you miss a payment. So don't fuck that up either. Anyway, this has been Dad Steve, aka Bat Dad over here. I think Bat Dad is trademarked, so I can't say that, but just be careful.
That would have been perfect.
The final little thing that I threw in here, Andy, is that there's rumors of a Series V.
Oh, dear God.
Now, there are two different rumors here. One was saying that this is a middle ground. It's not as powerful as the Series X, but it's more powerful than the S. But then somebody else was saying that it's just going to be a discless Series X. And it's going to be falling in line with the price of the discless PS5. Fine. Great. Whatever.
Sure.
Fucking who cares? Just if you're going to do it, do it. I think confusing people more and more is just a stupid idea.
At this point, you have a pre-order date for September 22nd for the series lineup of consoles. No more. We're good. Don't announce any more shit. It's fine. We're fine.
All right. To keep in with the next gen conversation, Borderlands 3 is getting a free next-gen upgrade. It's confirmed. It's 100% confirmed.
And new DLC
was announced. Now, here's not the only cool thing. Next-gen Borderlands 3 is going to allow you to do split-screen co-op.
Man, remember? Just like the old days.
Just like the old days. Uh-huh. But four players
on shit. One screen. We're in like GoldenEye days now, Steven.
We're in GoldenEye days, bro. And also, they're touting 60 frames per second at 40K resolution on both next-gen systems.
Love
in single-player.
Love it.
Now, that, of course, speaks against the developer quote that you said that these consoles aren't doing 4K 60 frames. That's probably because it's not actual 4K resolutions.
Right.
It's probably that 1440 12, whatever the fuck it is, 2000, whatever. I don't know. math is hard. Anyway, there's four-player split screen and the option to do vertical split screen in the two-player co-op, which I prefer the vertical split screen.
Mm-hmm.
That was how Resistance Fall Man did it, and that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, Resistance Fall of Man had split screen, and it was awesome. Granted, it was like 720.
I really miss that franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's... That's you got your free upgrade. If you have it, you're getting it done. It's a free upgrade, which is great because I have that on PS4 and I haven't beaten it yet. And it's just kind of sitting there and I want to play it, but it runs like trash on console. Like, just not good. Even the people that play it on Xbox, it just runs like poopy caca. maybe it's better now, but like, it stutters like a motherfucker.
It's nice knowing you have that free upgrade waiting for you when you get your next gen system. Unlike another game, which I'm going to do a little reshuffling of our news topic.
That's fine. This is great.
This makes sense.
Fits in. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
No wonder why our friend doesn't work there anymore.
So we discussed Control's next-gen upgrade controversy a while back on the show. How it seemed to make almost no sense, aside from pure greed, that they wouldn't offer an upgrade outside of those that bought the Ultimate Edition version of Control.
All right.
So if you were like me and you bought Control and the Season Pass, you had to buy the game all over again to play on the PC, the PS5 or Xbox Series X.
Right.
But recently, our good friends at Reset Era noticed something on the PlayStation Store that when they went to purchase the Ultimate Edition of Control, I guess they were just curious. So, you know what? I give in. I want to buy the game. I want to play it on my PS5. I'll just buy it a second time. It's only $40. Screw it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
They realized that it was already purchased.
What wizardry is this, Andreas?
Because apparently their PlayStation thought, well, you own the Digital Deluxe Edition, so you're going to get the Ultimate for free. That's just the next-gen version of it. So people thought, shit, did 505 go back on what they said before? Is the impossible now possible? No. Because soon after the chatter happened.
Oh, boy.
It was quickly revoked.
Yeah.
People noticed that it was now the add to basket option at full price. What the fuck is going on at 505, Steven?
I know what it is. I figured it out. I was scouring the internet. I had my pegboard, I had my strings,
right?
All that fun stuff.
Right.
I figured it out.
Tell me.
I think the person running 505 games or this section of 505 is Ralph Wiggum.
Mm.
It is the Ralph Wiggum theory.
Got it.
Of which I'm calling I've coined it this.
I was gonna go.
That
with,
is my only explanation.
Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because he can't also read, that. So you probably thought, oh, that's probably what it means. It's the same thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. God.
This is how you don't do things. This is telling you, man. In this age we live in, where everything is online and everything lives forever on the internet. Ooh, this is a bad look.
Yes, sir.
And I feel like you at this
point. How do you walk this back?
You have to figure it out now. You have to.
The only thing I can think of is like, okay, look, the game is not the same. Only the title was changed on your PlayStation or your Xbox. It was a mistake. But if you actually played that game, it wasn't the Ultimate version. But here's what we're going to do, because we're going to stop being assholes. You will have to delete your game and download the Ultimate version with all the fixes and all the add-ons. It's a different game. It's a different download, but you can continue your save game, and then you could upgrade to next gen.
Dude, I really feel like if there was a legitimate reason why this couldn't happen, if it was down to the mechanics of how the game was built in this Ultimate Edition, that it wouldn't allow those who owned the deluxe version to upgrade for free, then either just don't do it at all or just wait until a year.
Can we just recap something real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I just want to recap something.
Please, by all means.
Control comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Control has DLC come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Control has a deluxe version come out that has all DLC already.
Correct.
Control says, hey, we're coming out with the Ultimate version, which has the current DLC plus future DLC, I think. Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting this right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that version, you have the next gen version, which has more bells and whistles visually and sound wise and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that timeline correct?
That is correct.
Why did they do any of that?
You know what's even
any of it?
You know what's even a little bit this extra scummier is they still have the standard edition on for sale at the higher, older price of the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Ralph Wiggum theory. That's what it is.
I think it's more of a Monty Burns theory, Steven. When you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be honest here. What's really guiding this decision? And we can maybe one day we will confirm that. in a future podcast with certain people if they come back on the show, which they will.
I know I'm not going to be playing Control on next gen, but there's also something I'm not going to be playing.
Me either, because I don't have a copy of it
yet. At launch.
Yes,
I will not be playing Kena Bridge of Spirits. It has been delayed
so
to Q1 2021, so probably March or April next year.
Oh boy.
This was supposed to be a holiday release. This is very sad news because this game looks dope. Know what? We are all about just make the good game good and then put it out when it's ready. But don't say,
you're not delaying. You're not delaying Spider-Man or a first-party studio.
Maybe they are, but don't tell us that Kena is coming 5 years ago and it's supposed to be out 3 years ago, and then delay it a year after year after year, right, and then put a Band-Aid on it. No, but this game looks dope. This is going to be a really cool addition to the library. Some people were speculating like, oh, this is just going to be, oh shit, what was that game? I think it was a launch PS4 game. The one in the forest, the with the magic. And the, what was that game? No, the forest one. What was that one called?
For PS4?
Yes, like with Spirit something.
Spirit?
Shit. what was the name of it?
Spirits in this game too?
Yes, it is. That's why I'm getting confused. PS4 launch titles. It was like this. Was it called?
I'm pretty sure it's just Knack you're talking about.
It's not Knack, I swear to Bob. I forget the name of it. But anyway, Vamp, while I look this up.
I'm trying to think of what game this could possibly be, but on the topic at hand, this game did look incredible, and I'm a little upset that it's delayed. But hey, as long as I get my Spider-Man on launch, as long as Demon's Souls is somewhere around the launch, and we're getting Ratchet and Clank in the launch window, so there's plenty of games to play when the PS5 comes out, without a doubt. So it's one less game. I know it's one of the better-looking games that they've showed off recently. But in all honesty, as long as Bugsnax is not delayed, we're fine.
Ooh.
As long as we're still getting Bugsnax on time, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Did you find said game, by the way?
I'm trying. I forget. It was like that. It was an RPG with like creatures and like the forest and like you were like almost like a detective. Like what the hell was detective. This game? Why can't I?
It was like a third person action adventure.
Yeah, sort of game. It was like very. It had very like mystical foresty like neon shit everywhere.
Now, did it make use of the motion in the controller in some way?
Probably.
Would it involve like capturing monsters in the forest?
I don't remember.
Because I'm thinking of a game, but it was a PS3 launch game called Folklore.
That's what I'm thinking of. That was PS3?
Yes.
Get out of here. No, PS4.
No, Folklore is a PS3 game.
Why did it say Folklore PS4 come up?
Folklore is a PS3. It was a
That's what I was... Okay, anyway, yes. So I was thinking Folklore. And the reason why I was thinking Folklore is because a lot of people were saying that, Folklore had a lot of promise and then kind of let everybody down. It was like a very middle of the road, like six out of 10 type game. So people were worried that like Kena was just going to be all flash and no substance.
Right. It just looked the part, but no real gameplay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. For me, I think this game looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, it's not just delaying the PS5 version, the PS4 version, and the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
They're all getting delayed, so yeah. I don't know.
Did they offer like an exact window or just 2021? At least Q1, unlike other games that were pushed back till next year.
Yeah, so spring.
That offered no concrete.
That just gave a year, which
just said sometime next year.
New Year's Eve, rather.
Correct.
Could be.
Well, Steven...
Yeah.
Speaking about the PS5 and Sony, shit's going to get real in a couple of days. Because on September 16th, we're being asked to join Sony in what looks to be their last major digital event prior to the PS5's launch.
Mm-hmm.
As per the Sony Blogspot, before the PS5 launches this holiday, we wanted to give you one more look at some of the great games coming to PS5 at launch and beyond! Our next digital showcase will weigh in at around 40 minutes and feature updates on the latest titles from worldwide studios, so first-party shit, and our world-class development partners. Now, let's begin this properly and tell me that we're not getting Silent Hill. Just tell me. It's not going to happen.
No, I think it's
No, shut up. Don't say it's going to happen.
No. It's please stop. Please stop thinking.
I have to. I'm the last one.
Please stop.
You want to hear it sad? There was a recent era forum that was tracking back from March when the rumors first started. It finally shut down the thread after like 300 pages. So I was like, no, if that shuts down, all hope is lost.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us bring to the stage Hideo Kojima. And hello, I am making a game called Quiet Mountain.
You know what's going to happen, Steven? We're going to get a game called like Silent Hill Pyramid Head's Revenge, the arcade game. And I'll kill myself on the live stream.
A 2D stealth
game. It's like, hey, you got it, Andy. You got your new Silent Hill.
All right.
But yes. Yeah. This is it. I think we can all assume we're getting a price and a date and a pre-order date at this event. It's going to happen. That's without a
doubt. I assume this is going to be a pre-orders go live now or go live at 3 p.m. or go live whenever. Mm-hmm. I think that they, now that they have their date and they know Microsoft's date for their pre-orders, which I believe is the 22nd, they're just going to jump ahead of it, I think. I don't think they're dumb enough to do it after. I think they want to, if they're going to get people's money, they want them to make that decision first. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess, like or tomorrow or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm scared for the first time in my life, Andy. I'm legitimately scared I'm not going to get this console at launch because of COVID. Because I'm not going anywhere. Not going to a store.
You need to enlist your friends, your family, those who don't normally play games. Like I have a whole liege of an army of those who can basically go on Best Buy, Amazon, you know, all the you know, Walmarts, all of it. Enlist those you trust. Listen, Steven, if I can get more than one, it is going to you.
I know you are one of those friends,
right?
But I know that I have never in my life succeeded at doing this. That's why I just showed up for the Switch one and I got lucky. I got online and I was like number 74 or whatever the hell I was out of 120. But yeah, man, like it's all of the PlayStations I ever purchased, I went to GameStop. Mm-hmm. I waited online.
Right.
I dropped my $200-$300. I got my little slip. I was like number 10, number 11, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they only had like 25. Usually GameStop's don't have a lot.
Right.
I'd get my receipt. I'd go home and I'd wait for release date. Go there, hand in the receipt, pay the rest, take my console. Right. Like, that's how it's always been.
And it's also, I'm scared. It's your residential GameStop that, okay, it's not a huge crowd. It's on Manhattan with, you know, people line up down the block at the Nintendo store at the only chance for a Switch. But now when you remove that altogether, which by the way, they're shutting down 400 GameStop locations. Did you hear this?
I know. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, the reckoning has begun.
Yeah. So I feel your anxiety because, listen, when the Switch came out, it was a mad dash. But, you know, the next day I pre-ordered it on Best Buy and it was fine. There wasn't a shortage. These are uncertain times.
Very.
So, that aside, where do you think this will be priced at? First, the disc version and then the digital. What are you thinking? Now that we know Microsoft's pricing.
Yeah, I'm still thinking 5.4.
Yeah, same here.
I still think that the only thing that could be... I don't see a disc being a $100 difference. Now,
right.
One of the arguments that people were making was Sony's doesn't want to lose money. And I don't agree with that whatsoever.
No, because they haven't. They've done it before.
They've lost almost $300 per PS3. Because
they make it up in games. They make it up in games.
They sold it for $600 and still lost $300 per unit.
Yeah.
Let's just remember that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that the technology going inside it is the same but different, mm-hmm. right? Like that's kind of like the thing. They like the way they're innovating on their IO port for their hard drive is unique,
mm-hmm. and the sound engine as well.
Right, but we know, and that's from a software perspective. Mm-hmm. The hard drives themselves, they said that they've been testing. It's not a proprietary situation, so mm-hmm. you can upgrade that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your base hard drive, you could do that on your own.
Right.
So I'm thinking that there is a possibility that they go for taking a hit and making this a $399, $299 situation.
Oh, my God. Because, that's...
Well, wait. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
But I think it's a small possibility only because of the $299 price point for... the S. And the reason why I think that they might have the balls to do that is because since PS4, really since maybe Vita, Sony's kind of been all about the long game.
Mm-hmm.
They're about getting people in now kind of at the ground level and letting their software do the talking for them.
Correct.
Letting their software kind of push console sales while the price, and we know the price is going to come down to manufacture, because look at the GPUs, the new GPUs that Nvidia announced, those are way cheaper than last gen's launch mm-hmm. GPU. Mm-hmm. So you know that the sheer cost of these materials are coming down. So I would not be completely shocked if they were to do that, or to really make that a digital edition enticing, maybe doing the $499, $299. I don't know. Would that be enough to get people to buy in at $299? Obviously, yes. But would a disk drive be enough to get people to pay $200 more? Probably not. But yeah, I still think it's going to be $5.4. But if they did do, I would be like, wow, they went for it. But I wouldn't be completely shocked.
Now, do you see, even if it was priced at $400, the PS5 digital, is that price, does that compete with the Series S at $299? Do you see folks saying, okay, this is $100 cheaper, but the PS5 doesn't compromise on specs in any way compared to its disc version?
I think that the onus is on Sony to communicate that mm-hmm. in as dumb a way as possible. Correct. Because parents are dumb.
Right. They just see the price tag is cheaper, I'll buy this one and the story.
What's they could say, what's the difference? And it's up to the clerk then to describe what the difference is.
Right.
So if it's as simple as, oh, the Xbox, the cheaper one, is a little less powerful. It doesn't have the same graphics. Like, even if you keep it as simple as that,
correct,
I think that's enough for Sony.
Right.
Where you could say, but the PS5 is the same, it just doesn't have discs. So how do I buy games? You buy them all online. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'll take the Series S. That is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very distinct possibility for... But you know what Sony would fucking 100% do?
Tell me.
Those fucking weirdos.
Tell
they
me.
Would make an attachment, a disc drive attachment.
Dude, don't they say that shit.
They would 100% make an HD Blu-ray
shit.
Or whatever it is. 100% I think, they would
that's
do that.
Like
Ultra
the,
Blu-ray
that's
attachment.
Like, that's like a 360 era shit. Remember that?
They had they
that,
are
that
nuts. Little... They are nuts. They would absolutely do it. Like, oh yeah, but don't worry, we have a peripheral that later, if you do want to buy discs, you can just plug it in. I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. There's gonna be a serial port on the back of that PS5 discless one that's gonna be like, plug this shit in
to watch your Blu-ray.
There you go. You figured it out.
So aside from the price point and the dates, and likely the pre-order dates as well being revealed at this thing, what else do you see being announced? Or showed, aside from updates of, I want to see Spider-Man gameplay for sure. Maybe some Demon Souls gameplay.
Their plan for PS Now, PS Plus is 100% needs to be spoken about. Whatever they're going to do with those programs, whether they're going to stay the same, how they're going to work. I think one thing they really need to communicate is all the games we got on PS Plus, whether they were PS4 games or PS3 games, what's going to happen to those?
Mm-hmm.
Do they just come in and do they all just fucking work Cool. Mm-hmm. They have to communicate that. And to a lesser extent, but also kind of in the same vein, they have to put a stop to whatever the speculation is about backwards compatibility.
That was my next point.
Just say it. Just I would say if, are we getting it?
Well,
no,
listen,
great. Move the
I
fuck on.
I would say if they don't mention it, then it's a dead issue. We're not getting legacy games, just your PS4 and that's it for PS5.
Just say it. If that's the case, just say it. We'll mourn. I will mourn because I was sure. Really looking forward to going into my backlog on one console without having to hook it up.
You also play Armored Core 2 and Dark Cloud, so you want to play.
Yes, I do. And Gauntlet Dark Legacy. I
of course.
Play that too.
And Baldur's Gate. What about games? Surprises.
We'll probably get like one more announcement, but I don't think it'll be a launch announcement. That's why I think this is going to be about the console.
They did mention games and beyond. So launch and beyond. Do you think we'll see some fun stuff like something of a Resistance collection, or will Killzone pop up, or I don't know. I'm just saying this out loud for no real reason. Maybe SOCOM will show up at this thing. I don't know. Maybe. Be a possibility.
Hopefully.
You know?
I think there'll be one surprise. Mm. I think there'll be one like, oh, by the way, this is also coming out. But I don't think this is the time to talk about games coming out Q2, Q3, and Q4 of next year. Like, I just don't think it is. I think now is the time to get your messaging about what your system is, how much it costs, what you're getting with it, and how the services are going to work, because they have to get that shit on paper, because right now the speculation, I think, is it's not that it's hurting them, but it's making it a one-sided conversation, and that's something Sony hates. Sony does not like one-sided conversations. They don't like misinformation about what they're going to do running headlines. Like, they don't like that.
They're not quick to correct or react to a negative headline,
which is weird. Which is weird to me,
because I think they know all the momentum is in their direction anyway going to next gen. So they're like, well, you know, think what you will, but when we come out with our official information, then we're fine.
Yeah.
More or less. I mean, just announcing this alone dominates the discussion, because now you have one system. We haven't even seen an actual teardown yet of the PS5. We haven't.
Right. And that's what I think this is going to be about. I think this is going to be about the hardware.
Yeah.
The programs and launch titles, and then maybe one surprise.
We got to see the UI in this thing for sure. That thing has been
have to see it run.
At least you don't have a little start to a little boots up the presentation with the actual PS5 UI showing it off. I mean, I still touch.
It would be cool if they use the PS5 to do the entire presentation, where it's like they have little video files on the PS5 and they're just using the UI to like
go and find them. Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
Now, I think
if they did something like
the real lingering question here is, will we have actual people at this thing, or just CG folks made in Unreal Engine 5 like the last time?
Yeah, that was weird. It was like 8K cameras, 9,000 frames per second. Just looked fucking weird.
But at the very least, Steven, we're going to get a nice, well-polished, well-produced digital event. Because Sony is all about quality.
That hopefully doesn't leak beforehand.
I mean, they've been good about that for a while. I mean, you know, Microsoft got hit with leaks, two huge ones back. And Nintendo also. There was a huge leak with them not too long ago with these unreleased Pokemon games and shit, which we didn't get into, but whatever. Sony is guarding their shit very, very closely, it seems. And I think that's why folks are more keen on what's going on over there.
Nintendo usually guards their things very closely, but apparently they didn't. When Ubisoft...
I think there's your Ralph Wiggum right there, Steven. He's running Nintendo's online service and how all the secrets are kept.
Going to bed with Ubisoft has turned out to maybe biting them in the ass, because... Ubisoft Forward, whatever the hell it was. They showed a couple of cool things, the Ubisoft Forward. Immortals Fenyx Rising is now what Gods and Monsters is called, which is stupid. That title is so dumb.
I like the first name, and that's...
Yeah.
I don't like the weird... You know what's weird is Fenyx, and you spell it weird, and then there's a Fenyx-like bird that follows you that's named Phosphorus.
Yeah.
Like, I said it to Ken, and Ken is like... goes, you're upsetting me, and he walked away from the living room.
So this is all about Greek mythology, but it's basically Ubisoft saying we could do Breath of the Wild better.
I think Genshin Impact does Breath of the Wild better.
Well, Genshin Impact does like Breath of the Wild, but turns it into kind of like
low price of $0.
Right. This Ubisoft, Immortals Fenyx looks really cool, but it definitely looks like it is very much built on exactly what Breath of the Wild was in its exploration, and it's doing puzzles to get stamina upgrades.
Right. Using like the Hercules gauntlets to magnetize boulders and lift them.
Yeah,
it's Breath of the Wild. Oh, come on. You're not even trying. It's so on the nose.
And speaking of not even trying, this Prince of Persia, we got the Sands of Time is getting a modern.
Jesus.
This looks like poopy duty.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're lambasting, whatever. But no, man. No. Like, what we're used to when we're talking about remake, like, we just got Final Fantasy VII Remake. Granted, it took like 52 years to make that game.
Put that aside. Shadow of the Colossus, Crash Bandicoot, yeah. Spyro the Dragon. We've tried this before. Dark Souls. Yeah, exactly. Demon Souls. We've seen what these things can look like.
But we've also seen shitty ones. Medieval did not look good. This looks like more in the lines of like the Medieval remake.
True.
To me, which is like kind of halfway there. It looks like we're getting the early PS4 version or like late PS3 version of a PS2 game. And that's what it feels like.
And that was it was current gen only, this game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, January 21st. Okay. But let's be serious. We're only talking about the looks of the game.
Yeah.
We know Sands of Time plays like a dream.
Listen, that game is great. Amazing story. And it wasn't more about the visuals, but okay, that's why you want to remake a game. To bring that same level of gameplay and story, but with better graphics and make it look prettier. This looks so half-assed. Like, not even trying.
It just looks like they were like, hey, this game looked really rough the first time, like comparatively. Let's just smooth that out. You know, it's obviously new models. It's obviously all from the ground up.
Right. It's an actual
remake. It looks like they made a conscious effort to make something that we remember.
The issue is, again, when you put it up against Resident Evil 2, the likes of those, when you're putting actual effort in a remake and you're trying to capture that magic. This was one of the best Prince of Persia games ever released. I mean, that was a great trilogy, but that first game was, I think, it's the best one in all three, to be honest. And I feel like this will come out, it will sell horribly, and it's the death knell for Prince of Persia. That's how I see it.
I hope not. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game complete edition.
The saving grace of this whole Ubi Forward thing.
Yes.
Oh my God. Hearing Anima Noguchi soundtrack. Ugh. Great game. Great soundtrack. It's on the Switch too. It's on all current gen systems.
Yep.
Hopefully it's online play too, right? Did I read that correctly? It's online play, online co-op.
It's not in the write-up here on this thing.
It better fucking be, both local and online, because
I hope so.
We got to play that shit when it comes out. Day one, that is a day one purchase. I'm hoping cross-play is also in play with this title. But it's probably nice after all this time that this game has been asked for so long to come back. It's finally here.
I played it, but I don't think I owned it. I might have.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
You know, it just,
I feel like I did.
When you see that game, it reminds me of like the glory 360 arcade days. Like when that game came out.
Yeah.
And the Simpsons arcade and X-Men. Like that was like when I loved Xbox. I was glued to that system day and night. But yeah, that was a good high point for that digital showcase. Then there was that weird, not steep game that they showed at the end of the show. What was it called again? It was like two R words. It was like Ravenous Rebels or some shit. What was it called?
No clue.
It was like steep, but it was also with deserts and snow.
Buzz is saying Riders.
Riders Republic. That's what it was called. That game looked okay ish. There was flying raccoon suits, and it just steep with sand. That's all it looked like to me.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Steven.
The hype zone. Nintendo's a leaky faucet. We could have gotten according to this leak, a Pokemon Picross game. Ed the Duck for Game Boy. Philip and Marlo in Bloomland on Game Boy, I think. Yeah. Another Game Boy. Gargoyle's Quest 2.
It's a great game.
Indeed. Okay. What else we got here? Oh, I can't even pronounce this. Chikyu Kaiho. Kaiho.
Uh-huh.
Gun Zaz. Could have got
that. That's how you say that.
Mini Putt. Could have got that. Cat Trap.
That's the game made for you. You know it.
Shown as Power Paws. Could have got that.
You're all about that Cat Trap game.
Flintstones, King Rock Treasure Island, and Jetsons Robot Panic came out in the U.S. in Game Boy, but not in Japan.
This just sounds like these would have been Retro Game Club games that we're trying to screw ourselves over with at one point.
Hold on. Out of Gas was also Space Date at some point. That was changed. So that used to be called Space Date.
Out of Gas, like the Andy Asimaki story.
Nick Faldo Championship Golf, an unreleased 1991 golf game for the Game Boy by Titus. The game X, developed by Argonaut on the Game Boy as a 3D title, never made it to the States. With the new Nintendo leaks, appears that it was intended to release on as Lunar Chase at some point. Okay, Lunar Chase, there you go.
Alrighty.
I'm just going to keep scrolling down. Rock Board was a Mega Man board game for the Famicom.
Oh, shit,
turns out there was a Game Boy version.
Yep.
Game Boy Color gimmick. Oh, okay, I'm trying to find something that's like.
I do want
another canceled game for Game Boy Color has been found. Action RPG Jibaku Kun Rhino Itsuki Katsukuchi Su. Oh,
God. Are there that many exclamation points in the title?
I just feel like it got more angry as you.
Yeah, that. It does make me very angry.
Yeah.
I do.
Max Steel Covert Mission.
God, why?
Oh, here's the best one, I think, of the bunch here.
Talk to me.
Two Austin Powers games.
Yes.
Were released on the Game Boy Color with fake operating systems and mini games. Turns out there was a third developed. Ooh. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah.
With an exclusive driving mini game, which never released.
Man, baby. I do want to end on a game that is worthy of the hype zone. So when you're ready, okay, let me know.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's get in.
I'm going to do a little plug here for an upcoming guest of the Dual Screens podcast.
Oh, let's do it.
It is a game you can play right now in demo form on Steam, and you should wishlist this game. That is a game called Justice Sucks Recharged. It is a game, hopefully coming soon to a Bat Child stream in your near future.
Yep.
Where you play.
As long as I'm allowed to.
Yes, and you are allowed to. Where you play as a Roomba that kills people.
I'm down.
There's blood. There's gore. It's arcade fun. And you play as a Roomba that kills people.
I'm down with that.
Uh-huh.
Going into the mailbag here.
Yes, yes, let's.
How did it feel talking about all the PlayStation news all weekend? Like you said, you were, but oh, that's right, it wasn't. And that was from Buzz. Too bad, Buzz, because just announcing that they were going to do the thing on Wednesday took over all of the news this weekend, so you could suck it. Nuffs asks, how much sauce could a saucy Steve chug if a saucy Steve could chug sauce? Zero. I will chug nothing. Nuff also asks, will Sony finally announce the price release date on Wednesday? We covered that, yes. That's it for the mailbag in our Discord. Chat, if you want to ask any questions, please, now is the time to do so. And while I am going on, I forgot to put a Facebook question of the week this week.
You did.
It was a busy week. I'm going to put one right when we finish this show.
That should be going forward how we do things. Right when the show is over, just post it for next week.
Correct. All right, so but while we're looking at chat to give us some questions, let's go over some housekeeping here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. Andy is at Pants Guy. I am at Batchild27. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitch, we are twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. That's DUEL, just like our whole company website and all that fun stuff. And our YouTube is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Dual Screens TV. Our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions. We want to thank you for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray, a.k.a. Missed Enough, for our overlay and our logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all our cartoon art and all that other fun stuff. If you want to send us an email, feed it Feed it. Yeah, feed it to feedback@ndspodcast.com. And again, if you want to support us on Patreon, please do at patreon.com/ndspodcast.
That's hands.
We have a question for Mr. Nuff. How does Sony make PlayStation Now good? Very simple. Merge it with Plus and make that how you do backwards compatibility. If I put a disc in, it should read the disc in some shape or form and pull it from Now, download it from the servers on Now, and then you just have to put your disc in order for it to ping. But that's how they should do it. That's how they fix PlayStation Now.
Yeah, and then also offer just PS1 and PS2 games like every month along with, the PS4 offerings. I'm wondering on that note, when PS Plus goes into next gen, how long until we get PS5 games for free?
Probably just a couple of months, I would imagine. They're probably, what they'll probably do? They probably have games that are already in the works that are just going to release on there for free.
I honestly see Spider-Man being a PS Plus game not long after the PS5 launches. I can see that.
Oh, the PS4 game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's possible. But also there's going to be games like, Super Stardust HD, the other one they made for PS4. There's going to be like stuff like that they're going to drop for free. Right. Maybe Fall Guys comes PS5 version. We got a story that was put in by Buzz Killington using his channel points. This is relative to the Nintendo leaks. Wii Sports included in the last Nintendo leak shows Miis with ears and a jetpack minigame. That's right. A jetpack flying minigame where the jetpacks are on your hands as, I guess, Wii Remote and Nunchuck. That looks stupid. Good thing they cut that out. And Miis used to have ears, which is also terrifying.
That looks horrifying.
I don't like those ears.
it looks unnatural. I'm sorry.
Don't like that. We don't like that at all. And that is going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for watching us live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Thank you if you're watching later on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And please, if you're watching this on YouTube, just hit that subscribe button. We're slowly crawling to 300 subs. Just get us there. Just do it. Come on. I know a lot of you aren't watching this show over here. You're here for the interviews. You're here for the hot gameplay vids that we don't do anymore, but we will. I know you're here for that, but come on, just hit it. Just hit it. Hit the thumbs up, too. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go? Why are you muted?
Oh, that was the ghost leaving the house.
So the ghost left the house.
I was sparing the creakiness.
Oh, the creaky door. Got
creaky door. Just look forward to more of our PAX online coverage throughout the entire week. We got some great games lined up. Then we get Dreamscaper tomorrow in the afternoon, early at night. And fun stuff ahead for this week.
Indeed. It's going to be great. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everyone around the world. Thank you, video games.
Yes.
But especially thank you, Sony, for dominating the news cycle this weekend by telling us we're going to have something on Wednesday.
Complete domination.
Just dominating. Take care. And as always, please be excellent to each other.